Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in. And today we're joined by Jeff Arbogast. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you doing, Grayson?
Good.
It's good to have you at the table, Jeff. Yeah. I was sitting here and I said, hey, we need to talk about some of your story before we get into what we're going to talk about today with your involvement with Samaritan's Purse and in a lot of different ways over the years. But I was just saying, you actually invited me to church.
Absolutely.
Back in 1995.
Was it 95?
That's
when I started going to the church in 94 in September.
So did you cut his hair?
I cut his hair. Yeah. He was in Margaret's chair. And so, Jeff, you continuously made me feel welcome. That was when the church was on Roosevelt Street. And you and two other people just continued to invite me. And one day, God revealed my heart to me. And I had a place to go because you had very kindly been inviting me, not pressuring me. And so in October of 1995, I showed up on Roosevelt Street for the first time, thanks to you. So here we are today, sitting across the table.
That was 30 years ago.
Yeah. Like almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So thank you. I just need to say
welcome.
That. Thank you for being passionate and having a missional heart. You've always had that. And I've watched that over the years. So just grateful to be at the table with you this morning.
Thank you.
When did you get involved with Samaritan's Purse? Like, when did that start? Do you remember?
Not exactly. Soon after I started going to the church in 94, I think it was maybe the year later. I think we got our kids involved through Melissa's dad, Dave Eshelman, telling us about the project, which was in its infancy at that time, like 2 years into it, I think. And so I just started getting interested in where they collected boxes here locally. And that time it was at the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. And I ended up going up there and helping out and volunteering. It was a little disorganized at that time. But after that, I started getting involved and been involved ever since as a year-round volunteer with the shoebox program.
Yeah. And you've recently taken another role within the ministry. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. Well, back up a few years ago, while I was still working full-time, we took a trip in 2013 to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, for a rebuild project.
That's right.
And ever since that trip, it's been on my heart that I've been wanting to go back and do this again. But because I was still working full-time, it didn't work out. And my career took a change last year in July, so now I'm able to have my summers off.
Yeah.
And I just decided it was time to start booking some rebuild trips. And unfortunately for people, rebuild trips are the cause of natural disasters. And we had one in North Carolina last fall, so that gave us the opportunity to do two trips this summer to Asheville and Boone.
Can you go back to that trip that you all took to Alabama and talk about what lit the fire in you and in other people? What happened that week?
Well, the group of people that we took was just a time of bonding together and learning to know each other more deeply and our relationships with each other. And then also getting to know other people from across the country that had come to that site to volunteer and being able to help people at the same time and being able to have opportunities to disciple people that you went with, or people that are in the community or homeowners that you were working for. So that's what kind of fired for me.
I remember you all coming back, and there was a young man that had went on a trip I won't name, but I remember you all were in our life group, and this other gentleman was in our life group, and I just remember, like, he was really quiet in life group. He didn't have much to say, but when he come back from that trip, and this shouldn't scare anybody off from going on a trip, but he came back, and he had shared devotions one morning. Like, he had really stepped out and stepped into something he probably would have thought he would never do. And I've watched that on other trips, too. Like, it is a place where discipleship happens, relationships grow deeper, and you go to thinking you're going to bless other people, and God does something personal, I think, for every person that goes.
Thanks for reminding me of that, because I had forgotten. I remember he went, but I'd forgotten he had shared a devotional, because that is one of the things that they ask the volunteers to help with, sharing the devotionals each morning before we go out and work.
Yeah, and so it is, everything is centered on the Lord. You send people out to work for the day. You have a direction, like there's already a word been spoken that you can kind of ponder on. And for the farmers out there that have cows, like ruminate on, right? That's something that it gives you some foundation for the day.
Absolutely. We each and every day you pretty much know which house or which location you're going to be working on. And you have a foreman that's on site with you, and they'll go over the details of the work that we need to complete for that day. And you don't have to have any training per se as being a carpenter or whatever. You just have to have a willing heart to serve and to learn. And a lot of times you come away from these trips actually learning how to do something new.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't a Samaritan's Purse trip, but I remember being on a project and learning to swing the hammer the right way, you know, so you hit the nail every time.
That would
pretty
be
important. And, you know, that's something that now when I swing a hammer, I think about that trip and what I learned from it. That was just one of the things that I brought home. It's not huge, but it's another skill that I have that I wouldn't have had I not done that.
Yeah. And we're always should be learning new skills to put in our, I call it my toolbox.
That's right. That's right.
Because the Lord asks us to grow in our faith and in our skill set every day. So
I know that Carolyn Purdy would not mind me telling this story. Carolyn has a real heart for missions. And, you know, I remember her telling me a story about being on one of these trips. And when they didn't have anything to do, she picked up a broom and she swept. And she just kept things cleaned up. I mean, there's always something to do if you, no matter what your skill set is. Like pushing a broom was a skill that was needed that week. So it's good to have a balance, right? Like you need some skilled workers and you need some that aren't skilled, because there's something for every person to do.
And the cool thing about all that is a lot of times you don't know what skills the volunteers that are going with you have. In each trip that we did this past summer, it's just like the Lord gave me the right people to take for this particular projects that we were going to be doing on both bills. So the details are always in the
picture. Yeah. So tell us about that. Like, what were some surprises of the people you had with you that you needed that week?
Well, the first trip in Asheville, I took four gentlemen, including myself and a lady. Most of them are from church, but when we got there to that work site, which was in Swannanoa, actually, right along Swannanoa River, we were helping to finish up a home, and we did a lot of like interior stuff, painting, hanging shells. But also there was some work on the outside, like porches, front porches and stuff, and Tom Byerly and myself actually did some of that work. And then later on in the week, they helped us to lay out the forms for a driveway to be poured, which neither one of us have ever done that. So it just seemed like when we got done that week, all of us could go back and look. These are things that we really maybe didn't know a whole lot about, but were able to learn, skill, excel at it, and do a great job.
Yeah. Sometimes gifts that we don't even realize we have until you get to a place like that, and you get to exercise some of those things and learn how to do it better.
I saw that also on the second trip. It was even a little more evident in the fact that we had to put a whole set of kitchen cabinets in for this homeowner, and lo and behold, one of the persons that went with me had done that himself in his own home. So
wow,
he took care of that whole week, and he had an assistant with him, helped. She was a lady. She was a year-round, a day volunteer that lived locally. We had two day volunteers that worked on our team, and then we also had two people that went along with me that worked on another project. It was actually in Tennessee. Tennessee is very close to Boone, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're familiar with insulated concrete forms, or some people call them Legos, that you put together to form a foundation for a home. Pour them with concrete once they're all set up. Well, lo and behold, these two guys, they teamed up with another couple that was from New York. And in 3 days, they put up the insulated concrete forms foundation to be poured later that week. And they'd never done that, so they acquired a skill set they thought they would never have. But they, you know, I don't know if they'll ever use it again, but they have the skill now.
Yeah. Yeah, they were able to do what was needed to get the job done.
willing heart is all you need. Somebody who's willing to go and learn and serve. And a lot of times I think in serving, like what we're talking about, we think we're going to bless other people, but you've talked about some of the ways you've been blessed through these rebuild trips. If you want to talk about that, whether it's connections you've made or just...
Yeah, well, in the first trip, it was a little bit of a different setup because we actually ended up being housed in a hotel because of the, we were supposed to stay at the Billy Graham Training Center, but they had some seminars going on that week, and so they put us in the hotel. And the, can't remember his name now, it escaped my mind, but the hotel manager, he was just a real blessing to us because we go out and work on these projects during the day. And that week it rained every evening after we left the work site. So every morning we showed up, it was muddy, we were wading in water. We were filthy, and it was hot and sweaty. And he, we would come in the evening, he said, give me your shirts and your pants, and I'll wash them here at the,
wow,
the motel for us, which that's, you usually take an extra or change of clothes for every day because that just doesn't happen. That was a real blessing. And then the fact that, you know, we're from Harrisonburg, and we drove 350 miles to Asheville to serve. And lo and behold, just over the mountain in Circleville, West Virginia, there was another group there serving, a vague people. So we were able to connect with people that we knew actually pretty right in our back door. So that was really neat.
Yeah.
And are you able to connect with the families?
Good question. And normally you're able to connect with the families while you're there. The first project, we were helping to finish up a home for a Vietnamese lady, and she was actually in Chicago all week, helping her daughter move, so we didn't get to meet her, which was a little disappointing, but that's okay. I did get to see, 2 weeks after we left, they dedicated her home, and I did get to see that on video. Mm-hmm. But then in the second trip to Boone, the homeowner, his name was Joe Sherwood. He's 80 years old. He lost his house to mudslide. He was there a majority of the time, and also his daughter was there. And they, his daughter helped with some of the work, volunteered. And then when we have meals in the evening, when we come back, we all get together for meals there at the church. And Samaritan's Purse has a cook that cooks for you. You can invite the homeowner to come have a meal with you. So on Wednesday, I invited him and his daughter to come have supper with us Thursday evening, which his daughter also brought her husband and their son. So we were able to have dinner with them. And then lo and behold, we made a really good connection with his daughter, one of the ladies that went with me, Debbie Roadcap. They connected really well. And after that, the daughter invited us up to their home that evening to come sit on the porch, which we did. So those are the connections that really drive me, because those could be and likely will be lifelong relationships.
Yeah, there's no way really to put into words what happens on those sites and during those weeks. And it might, for somebody listening, they might go, I don't know. And it's just no way to put into words what God does in your own heart. And I think I've already said it, but we go to thinking that we're going to bless other people, and we come back receiving such a blessing and having deeper connections with the people that were on the trip. I was talking to Debbie just a couple of days ago, and I asked her about the trip, and she's like, it was the first of many. And I love that answer. It's the first of many trips for her to go on because it impacted her so powerfully.
Yes, I think just about everyone went on all the trips are really seriously considering about doing this again. And I just, like you said, Debbie, I spoke to her the other day. She's traveling right now, I think, going to the Midwest or Michigan somewhere. And she said, you know, they got that cleanup thing going on in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's only an hour away from Michigan where I'm going to be. I'm going to try to go maybe one day. So she's,
yeah,
the fire has been lit,
yeah,
for her.
So, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
We had talked about this earlier. You know, the need in North Carolina is very great in those particular areas. They have another site in Burnsville, which I haven't been to, but just to let the listeners know, the project will probably, both projects in Boone and Asheville will probably last for the next 5 to 7 years. There's just such a need. So hopefully my plan is to at least do two trips every summer, mm-hmm. and Lord willing, if we can find some leaders that would lead some other trips during other times of the year, we're going to try to do some other trips also. So it's usually a small group that goes anywhere from 5 to 10.
What is the best way? I know Samaritan's Purse does a lot of what they call rebuild trips, which is what we've been talking about. For people that are interested in serving on these type of trips, what is the best way? Is there a website for Samaritan's Purse or a place they can go to find out?
They have a website. The address is spvolunteer.org. You can go on that website and create your account. And then they have all the job postings on there, and you just go in and register yourself or a team. Yeah. And a team can consist of two people.
Right. And I was going to say, yeah, maybe somebody wants to lead one of these type of trips with their church or their organization.
Yeah. And they could register as their leader for their team.
And also, maybe somebody just wants to go and they don't have a team. They're more than welcome to reach out to us by email or by phone here at the church. And we can put them on a list, would be another way. And especially maybe if somebody's never went, they'd like to lead a team, but they'd like to go and experience it. That would be a good way to get started in that.
And our phone number here at the church is 540-434-1092.
Yeah, and to speak into that a little bit, if there's a retired person listening to this, and you have a skill, particular skill, say electrician, plumber, Samaritan's Purse has a lot of their own electricians and plumbers that they use that are staff people. But on the last trip, a gentleman by the name of Don, who lives in North Carolina, also showed up, and he has a lot of electrical skills. And he's like a guy that they'll call at the last minute if they have an extra spot for that team for that week, for that location. And, you know, they're short maybe a volunteer. They'll call him and say, are you available? If you can come, we'd be glad to have you. So there's always the opportunity for people that are retired at the last minute to say, you know, get a call, but they would have to register themselves and get in touch with Samaritan's Purse and let them know about their skills.
Well, that's good to know too. So usually when you go, there's usually a church that hosts, right? Like yeah. You all stayed in a hotel, but sometimes.
Most of the time it's a church setting.
Yeah.
In Boone it was. It was Faith Alliance Church. Churches they have there, but anyway, so they have bunk rooms for the men and bunk rooms for the women, and they're normal. The one we stayed in this past time probably would house 20 guys. They sleep on a twin size bed, and then they have shower facilities at the church. Luckily, we had all the guys that we stayed with this time. There was not much noise at night, so yeah. We all slept well.
That's a miracle,
that's
right?
That's a miracle in itself. And then, like I said, they provide your meals for you during the day. You have breakfast, a fresh made breakfast, and a fresh dinner in the evening, and then you pack your lunch for the day. Really, there's no whole lot of expense to these trips except getting yourself there and getting yourself home and any meals you would have during your trip.
And they and they have all the tools too. Like you don't have to take tools.
They have a large tool trailer that's just very organized, and their tools while you're on the site. They have, like I said, and once again, they have a foreman that's on site that works with you. Basically, all he really gets done during the day is just planning events and then helping people along during the day as they have a question about how to do a certain thing.
What if someone is listening today and they're like, he said something about there's a team that cooks. Is there a training for people to cook? Like, I feel like that's been something in the past. Or is it a local person that does that?
Actually, it's a staff person with Samaritan's Purse.
Okay.
The young lady, her name was Annie this time, that cooked for us. And so I was talking to a lady that went on the first trip, and her name's Kathy Mozart. She's from Augusta County. I know her from Operation Christmas Child. And we were talking about Annie because she saw a picture that I posted. And she said, yeah, she was my cook in Alaska. I said, in Alaska? Now, when did you go to Alaska? She said, in 2020, during COVID, she volunteered at the Operation Hewar Patriots Lodge in Alaska, and Annie was her cook there. So
wow.
Annie is a staff person, as I assume has been cooking for quite some time at different sites, either
wow.
rebuilds or cleanups or different ministry sites that they have. And she's awesome.
Yeah. Well, how about chaplains? Is there a chaplain training? These things are coming to my mind, so I'm just asking.
With Samaritan's Purse?
Yes.
Not with Samaritan's Purse. No, there's a chaplain training at the Billy Graham Association.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew there was one somewhere that was somewhere, attached.
So let me speak into the schedule, I guess, for these trips. Is it's usually a Monday through Thursday full-day schedule, and then Friday's a half a day, which allows you to leave, earlier to get home. We drove and left on Sunday, so you're only going from Sunday to Friday. But on the particular trip that we went to Boone, they suggested, actually they didn't even want us to work on Friday because they suggested that we tour the North Wilkesboro plant,
yes,
which is where all of Samaritan's Purse Ministries are housed. So on Friday, we decided to do that, and we came back, which was an hour drive back. It was just on the way home, and toured that facility. And I would say if anybody's interested to know about Samaritan's Purse Ministries at all, if they live close to North Wilkesboro or just wants looking for a two-day trip or a three-day trip, call that warehouse there and make an appointment to do a tour, because you would just be blown away at all the stuff that goes on with Samaritan's Purse and their ministries.
Yeah. So, Jeff, if someone – is wanting to find out how to get involved as far as how to get updates straight from Samaritan's Purse. What is the information that they can use?
What they need to do is either go to the website I mentioned earlier, which is spvolunteer.org, and there's a place where you can sign up to get text alerts whenever there's a need, as far as either a rebuild that's beginning or a disaster cleanup, which we had recently in Texas. You would be alerted as soon as they're able to take volunteers, where you can go ahead and sign up, or you can text HELP to 43037. And if you would like to just locally get involved with some of our teams, you can call the church here at 540-434-1092 and speak to Pastor Margaret, and we'll try to get you in touch with our group. And
yep, that would be great. That would be great. And that's the beautiful thing is you don't have to be from our church. You know, like the last trip you took, few people were right from
correct.
The church. It was a
It
was a community trip.
It was a community outreach, I would guess you would call it. There was one person from our church, and myself, and then the other four people were not from our church. And but, I actually ended up chaperoning a 17-year-old from Augusta County who was excited about going, and just so happened he was 6'7", and there's times when we needed people to could reach high, and we would call on him. His name was Caleb.
Yeah.
To help out.
That's the beautiful thing when you get the ages. I remember the trip I went on last fall, which wasn't Samaritan's Purse, but it was disaster cleanup in North Carolina. And we had from, 21 years old all the way up to in their 80s. And every person had a place, but that the young person I'd never met before. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit like, well, I don't know. They just moved here from New York City and 2 weeks before. And what happened that week in her life will change her life forever. And she would be okay with me sharing that today. And God used the oldest person in the group to minister to the youngest person.
Yep.
And they had just had a great loss in their life, but they went. And to see just the dynamics of what happens on these trips. He had lost his wife, and the homeowner had lost his wife a few years back. And they were like, we didn't know why we felt so tender towards each other. And they had both walked the Appalachian Trail. And like, you can't make this stuff up. I just watched God really bring that group together with the homeowner. And the homeowner, his wife, and the mother-in-law all came back to faith that week.
That reminds me of a story on the last trip we went to. We had, like I said, two day volunteers that lived close by. And one of the volunteers, her name was Mary Kay. And Joe, the guy that lost his home that we were, rebuilding his house for him, he had a 65 Mustang that he had there in his house or in his garage. And he lost his Mustang during the flood. Or the mudslide, and just so happened that Mary Kay has a restored 65 Mustang in her garage, and it's a convertible, and she told Joe, she said, Joe, I'm going to come over and pick you up one day when you get moved in your house and take you for a ride in the 65 Mustang.
Wow.
And then another connection was this lady also volunteers at Boone at the Operation Christmas Child Warehouse. They're doing stuff right now, getting ready for the season. And so I have a friend that I've known for a long time, Joey White. He's logistics, main logistics person for Operation Christmas Child Ministry. And so I just happened to call him the other day and been trying to get in touch with him. He travels a lot. And said, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, I just got home from Boone this afternoon. He said, I got to take off for Australia tomorrow. I said, well, you at the warehouse, Operation Christmas Child? Yeah, we were working. He said, I said, you didn't happen to run into a lady by the name of Mary Kay, did you? He goes, right when you called me today, he said, I was talking to Mary Kay earlier today and told her I saw her in a picture that a friend of mine had posted that she was on a rebuild site. And he said, it didn't dawn on me till you just called that it was you that had posted a picture with Mary Kay. So we connected through that rebuild with Joey and Mary Kay, who volunteers at Operation Christmas Child also.
Yeah. That's just...
That's yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I do want to just, not that this isn't about the trip I took, but just one of the highlights of that week, I was actually running a chainsaw, and the young girl that went with us, she comes up and she yells, "Pastor Margaret!" And I turn around, I stop, and I turn around, and I go, "What?" She said, "I believe that Jesus was more than a prophet." And she came to faith that week and was baptized the next Sunday here. And what would have happened had, you know, that was just so timely in her life.
Sure.
And so if anybody, no matter what age, I guess we should talk about what age you have to be to go on a trip.
You have to be at least 14. Yeah. And if you go as a 14-year-old, you have to be chaperoned by a parent. And if you want to go and you're 17, you have to be chaperoned by an adult that will agree to chaperone you.
Yeah.
Another story, just real quickly. The other house that they just dedicated recently there at Boone, the lady, I saw the video of that. I didn't get to meet them, but she said through that process of working with Samaritan's Purse and the volunteers that her husband and her son had walked away from the Lord, and through that process of losing their home and going through the process of rebuilding, that they both came back to the Lord through that.
So. Yeah, we saw that week too. On the different sites that we were on, the Lord was really using believers going and being the hands and feet of Jesus. The young girl that went with us, she had came up to me one day. I was sawing up wood, and she yelled out, "Pastor Margaret," and I'm like, turn around, I said, "What?" And she said, "I believe that Jesus was more than a prophet because He was with the people. He served the people." And that came full circle to her as she saw us there serving with being the hands and feet of Jesus. It came full circle for her that He was more than a prophet. He was with the people. He walked with the people. And she saw God's people walking and serving others. And that was the big question that we got was, why are you doing this? You know, why are you here? You could be at home not doing anything, and you're here. And it's the love of Jesus that compels us to serve. And she saw that week.
Well, and I think some of the stories y'all have told are reminders to us that the Lord orders our steps, and He knows where we are. And also the connections remind us that we're serving the same God.
Yeah,
and
the, right.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Anything in closing that you'd like to share that you haven't shared already or that we haven't asked you already about these trips or the ministry? Or
I'm really excited about the opportunities to continue to serve, and just ask people that are listening that pray about maybe allowing themselves the chance to serve.
Yeah, and if people can't go, certainly be praying for these rebuild.
Absolutely.
And the people going, and also there's ways on the website you gave earlier if people want to support the ministry.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as Pastor Margaret and I have talked with Jeff Arbogast today about these rebuild trips with Samaritan's Purse, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.